step into the main march is gone. And we've got to have people who are just sticking with it. And there, and people you can count on, but that doesn't do away with the fact that sometimes it's not even, well, I love that accordion. That was great. I'm glad you had that, Miss Vivian. I appreciate that. So well, we go way back, and when we were both kids, we still are, but we just older kids. Appreciate that, Vivian, that the wonderful sound of that accordion. I used to think I could play an accordion, but when I pick it up and put it on and start, I was convinced that I didn't know anything about it. So I didn't try to do it. I love to play the violin, but I pick a violin up and start playing it, and I lay it back down and say, you're just not called to play that either. But I sure love good music, and appreciate that. That was just made the service, as far as I'm concerned. You know, the pastor was mentioning early in the service here tonight how tragic it is if when you get to thinking about that, and I'm glad you emphasized that, preacher, tonight, that, you know, the predicament that we would be in tonight if Jesus had not risen from the dead. And all of what he said is true. And there'd be some other reason why we would be in this service tonight if Jesus is still in the grave like Mohammed and some of these others. I mean, why are we here? That was good. I appreciated hearing that and emphasizing that. But you know, people, I want to share something that I think is almost equally as bad as something like Jesus still in the grave tonight that concerns you and concerns me if we would just admit it. I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture from the book of Hebrews. Just listen while I read these verses of Scripture here, and then just a short little thought here that I want to give you tonight. In the third chapter of Hebrews here, we have these words, and it concerns the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, okay? The Bible says here, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he? Speaking of Moses and God and the Holy Spirit and all of them and the Trinity, the heaven, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? Notice verse 19 of that third chapter. It says this, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And I just want to share a few thoughts. I did a little study a few months ago on this subject, and just want to share some of those thoughts with you. And I've entitled it The Tragedy of Unbelief. You know, you're right. Everything that we talk about in our churches today, we need people, we need money. We wonder when it's all going to be over. When can we come to church and not hear the pleas that we need some help, we need some extra funds. When is that going to be over? When Jesus comes back. Not until then. When he comes back, it will be over. And I appreciate that so very, very much here, you know. And, you know, the children of Israel and the story of the 10 spies, which is so well known to, you know, all of us, the Bible records a terrific failure at Kadesh Barnea, Numbers chapter 12 and Numbers chapter 13. And the truth of the matter is, beloved, the unbelief of the children of Israel grieved God. You talk about, we might decide we want to commit some sin this week and violate the Scriptures and make a left turn when we should have made a right turn. But here we have a story so plain in the blessed book of God here that the unbelief of his people grieved his heart. Now, we wonder what it is that grieves God. Well, unbelief grieves God. The failure to believe. You can say, well, Jane Marsh, don't you get tired of going to the fair? Don't you get tired of going to all of these different places and dealing with the children and all of the things that the church does and all of the different missionary efforts that we have and that we've heard about here today? You know, if you're not careful, you get to the place you say, you know, I'm just tired of this. When is this all going to be over? You know, you want to be careful, beloved, because the truth of the matter is that any type of unbelief grieves God. You and I sometimes think that we have a whole list of things that we can hear about that God is unhappy with us about. But unbelief, does that really disturb God? Well, according to the Bible, the unbelief of the children of Israel grieved God, and it cost them the rest that Canaan land had promised. I would say that is a pretty serious situation. The Bible says in that 19th verse again, so we see, here we have the testimony of the scriptures here of that story thousands of years ago in the Old Testament. So we see that they, it isn't a question, would not enter into that rest, but the Bible says they could not do it because of unbelief. You know, I get to thinking about it. People ask me often, you know, when you're going to stop, when you're going to, you know, get off of the staff at Grace Baptist Church, when are you going to get out of the college and, they say to me, Pastor, when are you going to retire? And all of a sudden I say, what does that word mean? The word retire. Please tell me what that word really means. I know what people think it means, you know, and I understand people who have worked in different industries and stuff like that all of their life. And they come to that wonderful and glorious day when they don't have to go to work anymore. They don't have to punch that clock. And all of a sudden you say, I got a lot of free time now. I'm retired. And, you know, praise God for that. I think that's wonderful. But on the other hand, that might give you an opportunity that you've never had before to really jump in and serve God. And let your company pay for it. That you contributed to, of course. And hopefully you won't lose that retirement. But isn't it wonderful to realize that every time we turn around in our churches, I mean, our church, you go up there to, if you're ever up there and you visit the Grace Baptist Church, you'll see just a bundle of activity. And it looks like, you know, on Sunday night, we are basically dead tired at our church. So are you, aren't you? praise God, nobody's sleeping yet. And I'm going to be through before you start sleeping, so don't go to sleep on me, okay? I got to get out of here because I got to drive back to Gaylord tonight yet. But you know, it's wonderful though. It's true. You know, we just put a new roof on our church, and of course the pastor had to go before the people again and say, you know, we need some money, and the entire project cost about $70,000 for the roof and the air conditioning and stuff. They put the air conditioning in those days up on top of the roof, which was obvious, I guess, the wrong place to put air conditioning. And we've had to do a lot of replacements and replacing boards and just a tremendous, a very, very large project. You know what I'm talking about. You've got a large church here and you've got a lot to take care of and it's a beautiful place. But when does it, you're not going to get to the place, are you? No, you won't. Where when the pastor, when the church is making pleas, I hope you're never going to get to the place where you say, you know, I don't think we ought to do this. I don't think this can be done. Because that might border on unbelief, and that's an area where God says, you know, I'm very displeased with that subject, the tragedy of unbelief and people giving up and people just getting tired. You know, we will have time to rest when Jesus comes back. I've often wondered what heaven's going to be like and talk a little bit about this morning. And I really don't know. I read the scriptures and about the streets of gold and about that peace and that that perfect place. I think it sounds like it's going to be wonderful. You know, let's wait for that and let's make that effort. Let's step forward. Let's fill these forms out that the pastors talked about today, and let's get ready for Bible school. Let's not adopt the attitude that, well, I'm not going to do it, but I'm sure somebody else will do it. But you can't be sure of that. You know, God I think God is very, very displeased when we get to the place where we think, you know, I don't think we should just keep doing it and over again. You know, and yet, you know, here we have the Bible, and the Bible has always worked. Praise God for that. It always will. It's in the Bible. It's been forever settled in heaven. Nothing's going to change about the Bible. But it is sometimes a little bit worrisome for you and for me to realize that we've got another week ahead of us now. Back to work. That's the reason we're going back tonight, because my wife is our church receptionist, and we're busy at the college working on courses and back to work. And sometimes in my heart, preacher, I quit. Yeah, I quit. I'm like a lot of preachers that I've met and said, when Sunday's over and preach that last sermon, we had that last song, the invitation's over, they go home and they say, you know what? I'm going to throw in the towel. This is too difficult. And I don't know that it's going to get easier in our churches. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. And we're being challenged with all sorts of junk. And it isn't, I don't think it is any easier. I think it's difficult to serve God today. I think it would be very easy just to, when Sunday night's over, say, that's it. I'm through. I'm going to retire. I'm just going to quit. And then you get to reading the Bible. You know, over in Hebrews chapter, I want you to turn just to a couple of places tonight real quickly. Hebrews, look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews real quick, please. And look there at that familiar verse number 6. Of Hebrews chapter 11, we just kind of think about why is unbelief such a tragedy? And we've already answered that, because it grieves God. Look at verse number 6 there. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible. That word's in that verse there. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. A pretty strong language, isn't it? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Got that? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Any type of unbelief is a tragedy, because for some reason it grieves God to the heart when we don't want to trust him. We don't want to say, Lord, I know that you can do it, and I want to help you do it, and you can count on me. But it seems to be, the Bible seems to indicate here that it grieves God, like it did the nation of Israel back there in those chapters 12 and 13 of Numbers, when those spies went out, and 10 of those spies decided that they couldn't do it. Two of them decided, oh yeah, we can do it. Think about the numbers there. That really is lopsided, isn't it? 12 spies, 10 say we can't do it, 2 say yes, we can do it. But the truth of the matter is, those 10 decided that they couldn't depend on God. See, God saved you. God has led us through salvation, but then he dropped us. God has forgotten about us. The two guys said, no, we can do it. We can trust God. 10 said we can't do it. 2 said we did. And the Bible says that sin so grieved God that that whole nation of Israel, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. I would say that really concerned God when those people decided that they could no longer depend on God. You know, all of our salvation efforts in our churches, and we're not running as many buses as we used to. We run about 10, I think, Sunday. The college, we have a radio station. Well, Pastor, you know, you get to thinking about all the stuff that some churches do. It really costs a bundle of money. And you ask yourself the question, why is it, why would the pastor, you know, go to that area, start that church? Why do you think he had to have a radio station? Tell you why. Get the gospel out. That's why we needed a radio station. Why do you have to have the college? And I think the college, I'll be honest with you, the college is one of the greatest opportunities that we have as our church, because we're training young people to go all throughout the world spreading the gospel. That's why we have the college. And all of the properties that you have to have and keep up and maintain, it's a tremendous, tremendous undertaking. And you, all of a sudden you realize that, boy, I don't even want to start doing this without God. You know, most of the time in churches, it has to be the pastor who keeps the ball rolling. I know you have good people in your church. God, I know this church has been here for years and years and years. I know there's good people in this church. We got great people in our church, but, you know, thank God for a pastor. I know our church would not exist today without our pastor, who happens to be my son. He's 26 years there, but he knows he's able to keep the ball rolling and keeping us all believing that God's still on our side. And I'll tell you, it's wonderful to be able to be a part of a ministry like that. You know, and it's not dead, it's alive. And we're seeing a lot of people saved, and we're seeing a lot of parents, bus kids, but parents coming in our buses and working with these children that we heard about tonight is absolutely one of the greatest ministries that our churches can be involved in, because they've got their whole life ahead of them. And God bless them very, very much. So you see, this business of asking ourselves the question, can we do it? Should we do it? If we get to the place where we think we can't do it, then I guess we're not trusting God like we ought to. So unbelief obviously really disturbs God. A couple of other verses I'd like to have you turn to just here tonight to help us out here. Let's turn to, let's see here, one of these I looked up. Let's turn to Psalm number 78. Psalm number 78 and verse 19. Just flip back there with me, the book of Psalms, and number 78 and verse number 19. I think it's a privilege, not only for me to be here, but to be able to use the Bible and just show you a couple things that might encourage your heart just a little bit here tonight. Hopefully it will. But in Psalm number 78, look at verse number 19. It says in verse number 19, yea, They spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Here is another reference to the nation of Israel. You go back there and just pick up verse number 17 for a moment. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? What we get from this verse of Scripture, I believe, is the fact that when our faith starts to become weak, we start asking questions. Should we do it? Can we do it? Ought we do it? And that is another indication that our faith is being hindered. Our faith in God. Can God do it? Should we do it? We ask that question in our church all the time. I know people do, and we have to answer that question. Here are these people here. We have this illustration from the Old Testament here. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God build a church? Can God build a radio station? Can God build a college? Yes, He can. And we need to have our faith in Him and rely on Him and let Him do it. There's another thing that I thought about as I looked into this just a little bit here. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 13 just quickly. Numbers chapter 13, way back here in the beginning of the Old Testament, the 13th chapter of Numbers. And I want you to look there at just verse 31. Start there reading with verse 31, Numbers 13 and 31. And here's what we have here. You follow along and I'll read it. Number 31 said, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of which come of the giants, and we in our own sight as grasshoppers." They looked at themselves as grasshoppers, and so we looked. That's how we viewed them in our sight. So I think what we have here is that when we got to be careful that we don't become selfish, thinking about ourselves. When God wants to do something, and when God wants to use you, and you might say, "Well, I can't do it. I'm not able to do it. It's going to cost me some money. It's going to cost me some time." Well, that's what these people did here. They started thinking of themselves, and they didn't see God. They saw the enemy as they viewed themselves as grasshoppers. And as they viewed that land, they said, "We can't do it. There's no way." So they were thinking of themselves and got themselves in the way of trusting God. I know we kind of refer back to this same story a lot, but there's so much, it amazes me that there's so much is said in the Bible about the unbelief of Israel and the tragedy of this this unbelief, that it disturbed God so very, very much. Let me just say lastly, turn over to back over to Psalm number 78, and think we'll just kind of wind this down a little bit here. Psalm number 78 again, and look at another verse here in this precious psalm. Let's go down and pick up verse number 4, 78 and verse number 4. Do you have it there? There's a couple of other verses there. I'm at verse 41. I'm sorry, my mistake. Verse 41, not 4. Verse 41. Psalm number 78, verse 41 says, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God." Notice what happened here. "And limited the Holy One of Israel." The reason that unbelief is a tragedy in our lives and in our families and our churches is God can't do what He wants to do. If we fail to trust Him, we don't realize what the cost is of not believing Him, then God wants to do something and God can't do it. I realize God is all powerful and He could overrule, but the Bible says here that the unbelief, they tempted God, they turned back, and it limited God. That's kind of serious, don't you think so? Because of their unbelief, God was limited. I'll tell you what, beloved, I appreciate so much the privilege that we've had to serve the Lord. Yeah, here in Jackson County for a lot of years, and before that, we'd served God for 4 years in Appalachia, the mountains. Had four churches there, had services in those four churches every Sunday. Down in the mountains of eastern Kentucky, in the coal field, coal area. And what a blessing that was. And then we came back up here, and now we're been in our eighth year up at Gaylord. We've had a privilege, beloved, of trusting God just day by day, step by step, and relying on God. And I know that the only reason I'm going to get back to Gaylord tonight is if God goes with me. I plan to get a little bit of rest this afternoon, and my family's messed that all up. Didn't get not a wink, and we need to take off after church and head back up there. But you know what? It's been a privilege, preacher, for us to serve God, and I'll tell you what, I don't make any bones about it. I believe the reason that we're still in the ministry is because we trust God every day for our strength and our needs and the help we have along the way. We can't do it without Him. I don't even want to think about doing it without Him. I realize what a tragedy unbelief is, and I just have had the privilege of all my years so far to just keep trusting God. What about tomorrow? I don't know anything about tomorrow. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to rely on God. Just get my plans out of the way and rely on God. And I hope you'll do the same thing. It's been our privilege to be here. I'm glad we were a little bit reluctant about telling the preacher that we would come, but I'm glad we did. It's been a joy to see some people that we've known for over the years and kind of just see again. And maybe in the future we'll see each other again, if not here, up there. But it's been a joy to be here, and I just the only thing I hope to do is to try to encourage you a little bit to keep going on for God. There's a job to be done, and we've got to make sure that we keep doing it. Let's pray together. Father, we sure love you tonight. We don't always know why you put up with us, Lord, and why you allow us to keep serving you in these different capacities, Lord. But it's a joy, it's a privilege, Lord, to serve you and to go out and knock on that door in the community, try to reach the children, their parents for the Lord, and to give to missions, and just to be totally interested in the work of God. Lord, help us. Forgive us tonight in the areas where we have decided that we couldn't believe you, Lord. We couldn't trust you anymore, and we've taken things into our own hands. And what a tragedy that no doubt has been to many a family in our churches across the land. When we fail to trust God and decide we're going to take things in our own hands and work things out and fail to trust you, Lord, what a tragedy it is. How it breaks the heart of God to have your people walk out on you, Lord. Forgive us if there's any of us here tonight that have been so bold and so brazen to tell God, Lord, we love you, Lord, and we've been walking with you, but there's a time in our life, Lord, that we walked out on you, and boy, we need to get back with the Savior. Let the Lord direct our path and have His hand upon our life and ministry, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord, and we know that you first loved us, and we just praise you for it tonight. Thank you for the privilege of sharing with these people here today. We pray this in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen.